Packer Public Radio. I'm down here and we're all setting up start of day two. And I'm talking to...
Popey.
Hello.
How are you doing, Popey?
Yeah, all right. Recovering from a...
Did you have a good night?
Yeah, it was really good. There was we had a big room at the hotel and everyone kind of sat down with these huge round tables and mixed and spread about and loads of beer was drunk and there was some live music and yeah, it was really nice. People stayed up till quite late, which was I was surprised at. I thought people would have, you know, gone to bed early and
been sensible and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. No, not a chance. No, everyone was up late and yeah, good time was had by all, I think.
Yeah, actually, it's working out very well. They must say the facilities, everything's nice and big. The venue's been nice and big, very close.
Yeah, we've been very lucky with the venue because they provided it for us, you know, at no cost to us. Which in previous years we've had to pay a fair amount for a venue, so this has just made life so much easier. And because it's a university, the rooms are all set out for lectures, and we've got loads of chairs and projectors, and they've got all the audio equipment here as well, and plenty of space, and a nice bit of green area outside, so we can have a picnic or geeknik as we call it. Yeah, it's been really good.
Listen, I'm not going to keep you any further. Just carry on, and thank you very much for the short update.
Cheers, Dean.
Hello everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and I'm standing outside the new relocated exhibition area here at right beside the Hacker Public Radio booth at Ogcamp 12, and I'm talking to...
Lorna Mitchell.
And Lorna, what are you doing here?
I'm here because I'm involved in lots of open source things. I'm a web development consultant by trade. I run a PHP open source project and I'm one of the organisers of a bunch of different events that I'm involved with PHP in the UK.
And what are those?
I've got a few coming up, but particularly I'm excited about PHP Northwest, which is a Manchester-based conference. It's our fifth year this year. I should confess I'm less involved this year than I have been, but that means I get to speak this year. So I'm just as excited as ever. It's a community conference. We bring together the best of PHP people and other allied technologies in Europe, put it all together, fairly reasonably priced, and the beer's cheap too. Awesome.
Excellent. What's fairly reasonably priced?
I think our current ticket prices are £95. You've missed the early bird, I'm afraid, because our dates are early October.
Okay. And what sort of person will be interested in attending your show?
It's a real range, and it's anyone working with PHP, any of the frameworks. And we have hobbyists as well as people who do it full time. Senior developers, but also quite junior ones, and some graduates. So there really is something for everyone. It's three tracks. So there's different sessions in every slot, and we cover a real range of topics.
Okay, and what's the feel of the event like? How many days is it? What's the time? That sort of thing.
Okay, it's a weekend event. We have a tutorial day on the Friday beforehand, which is in-depth, rather more expensive, really detailed with experts. And I'm teaching one of the sessions as well. And then the main conference is all day Saturday and until lunchtime on Sunday, so people can go and get trained. But if you're coming, come Friday night, because we're going to have a hackathon too.
And what's a hackathon, pray tell?
We sit down and we hack. I'm not sure exactly what form it will take this year. I'm hoping to get some stuff done on my own open source project, which is joined in a system for leaving public feedback for events, speakers and events. But there will be loads and loads of different projects that you can just jump in and start coding.
And is it mostly hobbyist attendance, or is there quite a good representation from the business community?
I would say most people are doing PHP as their main job, but not everybody.
Okay. So, I mean, ideally, if you're a company, if you're involved in coding PHP, then you would get your company to fund you for that week.
Absolutely. And I think for businesses it makes sense. It's a relatively inexpensive conference. It's a weekend, so although you might also be paying sort of travel and accommodation, you're not losing people off your projects. So if you have the kind of employees that can get out at the weekend, it's a really good opportunity.
And there's no requirement to have your code that you're working on to be open source, or is you know, how is the open source feel at the event?
Absolutely not. I mean, PHP itself is open source. Many of the frameworks and the products that we use in PHP are open source. A lot of people work on code that isn't, and that's not a problem at all.
Okay. Who are your sponsors?
We've got some great sponsors this year. We've got Invica, Sensio Labs are sponsoring us. do you know, I'm not sure about who else is sponsoring us because I haven't been organising, but we typically have some really good organisations involved and they really make it happen and keep the ticket price where it is.
Okay, excellent. How did you happen to wander in to get involved in something like this?
I've been a PHP developer for a number of years and I speak at all the conferences. So when the local community wanted to start a user group in Manchester and then start the conference, I just gravitated to that and I've been involved ever since. It's been such a great sort of network and yeah, we have a ball every year.
Excellent. And if people wanted to find out more about us, where would you send them to?
Conference.phpnw.org.uk.
NW, what's the NW for?
PHP Northwest, we're based in Manchester.
Thank you very much. It's been a long night, folks. Anything else that I forgot to ask?
No, I don't think so. Just hope everyone comes down and we'll see you there.
And have you been having a good time here at the show?
OggCamp is always great because it exposes me to technologies that I don't use every day. I've enjoyed the talks that I've seen so far and I've bought some new books and I'm going to go and see the open hardware hacking shortly.
We've just been up to the open hardware hacking and it's excellent, excellent. Are you intending giving any talks yourself?
I have spoken at every OggCamp that I've been to, everyone that has existed. This year my challenge is to sit down, relax and not speak, but I did go on a panel yesterday. So.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you very much for taking the time out for this interview and I really hope your event goes very well. And if anybody listening to Hacker Public Radio is actually going to the event, if you wouldn't mind bringing your recorder along and grab some interviews, we can also schedule them to be released here on Hacker Public Radio. Hi everybody, this is Ken. We're down at the exhibition area and I've just come across Simon Phipps. How are you doing, Sam?
I'm doing pretty well today, thank you very much.
And are you letting your hair down or are you here for a specific reason?
Well, I'm giving the main stage talk at noon today, so in half an hour.
Are you nervous?
No, not particularly.
Okay, I didn't think you would be. So have you been enjoying the show so far?
So far it's had lots of energy, like it's supposed to have, so yeah, I think it's working pretty well.
Have you seen anything in particular that you think is setting a trend or is a new interesting thing that caught your attention?
The 3D printer yesterday, and you know the mix of 3D printers and Raspberry Pis and hardware-y stuff. You know, I first got into electronics in 1976, soldering resistors and transistors onto a bit of strip board. And during the middle of my computer career, all that stuff fell away as everyone went out and bought all their electronics. And it's interesting to see it all coming back again and people discovering soldering irons again.
Yes.
I think we've got a definite trend there, and I'm sure that the forces of big corporate technology are trying to work out how to stamp it out as fast as they can.
Pretty much like the netbook, you know, the way that was kind of obliterated from the market. But I don't think the Raspberry Pi itself is too cheap. Would you agree with that, to be snubbed out?
Well, it is actually very cheap, although I've been excited to see people coming in with lower price point items. I've got a Raspberry Pi sitting by my front door at home, waiting for when I get back from this trip to go work with. I think that sort of device is going to be a very interesting development. I actually think it's still a bit too hard for the average dabbling geek to quickly get into. And what I'm hoping we'll see is just a slight getting slightly easier-ness. Because there are all sorts of things people could be doing with it. You know, everyone needs a home voice over IP switchboard.
Yes, they do.
A Raspberry Pi with a cut-down version of FreeSwitch stuck inside it would be absolutely perfect. But to do that is going to involve quite a lot of know-how and skills. But I think it's that we're definitely at the leading edge of an important new trend there.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to let you go. Thanks very much for taking the time and thanks for doing the interview yesterday. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. I'm going to go and talk all about the communications data bill that everybody needs to take some action about if they want to ever be able to keep a secret again in their life.
Hi, everybody. This is Ken. We're down in the exhibition area and Ak is hanging around the coffee machine. How are you doing, Ak?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. It's Sunday morning. Things going well.
Enjoying yourself?
I am, actually. Our camp this year has been quite interesting.
Define interesting for me.
Well, there's an awful lot of talks going on. It's kind of a bar camp thing, so you've got no big sense of what's going to be going on when you get here.
Yeah.
But it's a good bunch of people, so you get a bunch of interesting stuff going on. I'm currently trying to think of a lightning talk to do. Well, I thought of a lightning talk, but I'm trying to plan it. But there's a lot of stuff going on. I was wandering, as you say, I was just wandering around the exhibition and the coffee area. And there's some people called Scraper Wiki who are doing something to liberate public data. And that seems really interesting. Yeah. There's a load of hardware hacking stuff going on. So, I mean, it's Ogcam, right? It's always like this. But it's nice to get together, meet a few people again, and just find out about all these projects I don't know about.
It's amazing. I just not bothered going to any of the talks. I'm going to assume they're recorded and I can watch them again, because I'm more interested in the stuff that's going on here in the corridors and talking to the people that's walking around.
Well, I think that's the thing. It's, yes, coming on watching the talks is important, looking at the exhibitions is important, but the most important thing to me is that I get to meet up with all these people again, keep connections fresh, know what's going on. So, because it's a community, right? I mean, there are plenty of conferences you can go to where people have paid £10,000 to get a stand and will give you the sales pitch and so on. But it's great to see people coming here from all sorts of different projects. I mean, you know, I work for Canonical on Ubuntu, right? So we're one of the larger projects in this community. But there's also people building their own tiny MP3 players from scratch, stuff like that. And I'm really interested in one of the things that I've seen coming out of this sort of conference, this sort of community recently, is the idea of turning hardware stuff into a product. Historically, we've been quite good at the idea of saying, look, here is a chip. We've made a chip. We've made some software for it. But now people are starting to talk about how you make a finished product, so how you make a plastic case that it will go in really nicely, how you sell those things. Richard Hughes from the GNOME Project is here with a colour hug, which, I mean, I don't pretend to understand exactly what it is, but it's about checking the colour temperature of your monitor. And he's designed and made this thing, and now he sells them at cost. And it's not... I mean, you could buy commercial things to do this, but they were like £250 or something. But he's trying to make a finished, real product. Up until fairly recently, that's been the province of big companies doing that sort of thing. We've been good at saying, okay, look, here's some software on an FTP site, but not making a thing that real people can have. So I'm really interested in that evolution of us being able to make finished products that people can use.
Okay. Fantastic. Can I talk to you about some Canonical stuff?
You can, although...
How's it going with Canonical? Are you enjoying yourself?
Yeah, actually.
I'm not going to ask any shitty, difficult questions. It's just going to be nice and light, okay?
Okay. I can say I'm not here on the payroll. Yeah, I like my job. It's brilliant.
Okay, any openings there in Canonical for interested hackers?
There are, actually. I mean, we're always hiring. The company's grown enormously in the space. I joined 3.5 years ago. And since then, we've roughly doubled in size. So we're always on the lookout for good people. I particularly work on Ubuntu One, so that's obviously the bit you want to work on. But we do loads of other stuff too. If you have a look at canonical.com, there's a load of jobs out there. I think ubuntu.com/jobs as well. But in general, always looking for people.
Excellent stuff. I hope you enjoy the rest of the show, and thanks for taking the time to have a quick interview.
No problem. Thanks very much.
Okay, cool. So I'm here talking to...
Aid Retro.
How's it going, Aid? How are you enjoying the show?
Very much, and I'm refreshingly not hungover.
Why is this?
I'd like to say it's the wisdom of age.
I would say it's probably more because the beer tasted really, really bad.
You are correct. There wasn't a great deal of choice in the beers.
No, there was 2 beers and one of them ran out.
Yes, there was some epic fail going on.
And of course you interacting with Germany and the purity of their beer system over there.
Yeah, it did cross my mind. I was thinking, has the beer always been this shit? Or have my standards changed? Yeah,
living in the Netherlands, where we're right close to Belgium, mm-hmm. You know, and being a parent, I have 1 beer a month, and if it's going to be a beer, it better be a good one.
Absolutely, I do the same thing. So yeah, if you just drink 1 beer a night, but make sure it's a damn good beer. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. No, don't drink just tons of shit. Yeah. Just drink one or two really good beers, yeah.
Although it is kind of funny once you start drinking, Trappist beers, and you just have two, and then you go drunk from your feet up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we were discussing yesterday the Brewdog beer. Is it Tactical Nuclear Penguin one? That's like 32%. A beer that's 32%, and it's £35, by the way, for 330 milliliters.
Okay, but if you want to know more about beers, just go to the Pod Brewers Network, and they have home brewing stuff. But anyway, how was Ogcam for you?
Ogcam's good. Love the venue. Very, very good. it's warm, you know? Not the venue, I mean just Liverpool in general. Yeah.
I think there's a heatwave going on here. We're not used to this whole concept.
Well, it's a kind of English heatwave with no real visible sun, but warm nonetheless, yeah.
And it's not really, you know, for the one time in 4 years when there's going to be a warm day, not really worth putting in air conditioning for that.
No, not at all, no. It was interesting to have that Stephen Fry interview yesterday, do you think?
You didn't
attend it? Right, okay.
So how did that go? What was it like?
It's cool. It seemed as though they'd emailed some questions to him, and he was just kind of sat in his lounge. He looked a little hungover or just woken up, to be honest, and he was just kind of rattling through those in his charming charming way.
Yeah. No, I made the conscious decision I'm going to stay out here and watch all the talks afterwards. So what have you been doing in the last year since we caught up with you?
So in the last year, so I'm working at Red Hat as a consultant, yeah, and I haven't really released this news yet, but I'm transferring to Red Hat Germany. I've been doing a lot of work in Germany, and obviously my girlfriend lives in Germany. And so,
still your girlfriend?
Still my girlfriend?
Right.
Oh yeah, she hasn't sacked me. Is that what you mean?
I'm just wondering if you're walking slower past jewelers or anything.
Ah, like. Okay. No, not yet. No.
Not walking past prenatal or anything.
No.
Okay, just keeping the listenership informed.
No, that's good. Yeah. So yeah, 1st of November, I'm going to transfer over to Germany. And start working. So exactly the same role, different manager, same kind of work. Hopefully learn better, some more German.
Yeah. It will be obviously a lot easier when you're there, immersed in the whole thing.
Everyone tells me this, yeah. But
it is 3 months of serious pain, though.
Right, okay, yeah. The problem I have, though, is because, you know, I go there quite a lot, but all of Ilka's friends all speak English, and they just switch like that, yeah, and one or two of them might be interested in teaching me one or two things, but yeah, they're just, it's easier if we all just speak English. Yeah,
I remember the first time I've actually, you know, in the Netherlands where I actually had to speak Dutch.
Right.
It was with my mother-in-law, and I had two sentences. One was, the town is mooi, like, your garden is beautiful, and, you know, dit is leuk. But fortunately, she had, well, not fortunately, she was a bit of a memory problem, so she kept forgetting, and I was able to keep repeating the same two sentences for an hour or two. But anyway, that's by the way. So whereabouts in Germany are you going to be?
So technically based in Frankfurt, but not really. So I'm going to be living in Bonn and working kind of around the north. Yeah, getting sent all over the place. It's apparently it's 80% travel. So yeah, it doesn't really matter where you live because it's going to be 80% travel. So.
And that's within Germany?
Within Germany, I think, yeah. So I guess I may even get sent to the UK to do something. So it's going to kind of flip over. I don't know. But yeah, I think the majority of it will be Germany.
Yeah, I seem to be looking forward to it, Danny, at least.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, very much looking forward to it.
Okay, and what are you looking forward to here for the rest of the day?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really looked at the talks yet. So I guess they've changed overnight. And yeah, there was a little bit of chaos yesterday getting everybody to actually nominate some talks and put them in time slots. But yeah, hopefully it's all going to be slick today.
Nah. Okay,
it's genius to start the today an hour later. They've always done that, and it's always a good move, I think. Yeah,
it would have been nice to tell me because I've been here since all hours. Okay. No, I haven't. Right. No, I haven't.
Okay, yeah, I think everybody looks kind of fresh, and there's loads of people here. I expected there to just be like a handful of people here on a Sunday because maybe it was that beer problem last night.
Yeah, could have been. Okay, with that, I'll let you go have your coffee. Thanks very much for doing the interview. Hi, this is Ken with a hangover. Not at all. We're standing outside Oldcamp 12. It's just started to rain, and I'm here with John, TM, the nice guy.
Hi there.
How are you doing, John?
I'm very well. Slightly stressed, but yeah, on the whole, not too bad at all. Thank you.
And you'd be stressed because there's a computer operating system, a computer application, beating at the heart of Oldcamp 12, and that's written by you, isn't it?
Yeah. Written, I think, is probably the wrong way to describe it at the moment. More kind of dredged out of nothing and kind of some vaguely formed into something that might work occasionally. At the moment, I'm not really feeling that positive. Yesterday, I was brimming with joy with Campfire Manager. But yeah, today it's kind of a little bit nerve-wracking and not been working quite as well as I'd have wanted it to. But we're all right. We're doing okay, I think. It's just, you know, been stressful.
It's a difficult task that you have to do because you don't really get to test it until the event as such.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not even really like you can particularly stress test this application just because of the sheer kind of crazy way that you're relying on like chaos theory of people submitting stuff and removing stuff all kind of on the fly on like Wi-Fi that may be flaky over a network connection that might not be there, over SMS that may or may not work. It's kind of a lot of variables, and it's a lot more risky than your normal kind of Common Garden website. So
Just to let people know, the Campfire system is a way that people can schedule talks, and you can schedule them via the website, via SMS, via
The SMS, and you can also use Twitter. Unfortunately, both the SMS and Twitter engine both broke yesterday, and I've just not had a chance to fix them, which didn't reduce my stress levels at all, not even a little bit. It just kind of bumped it up and made it more painful. But yes, on the whole, the SMS engine, the Twitter engine should work. It's just sort of very simple mistakes that I just haven't had a chance to fix yet.
Yeah, not to worry. Are you enjoying the show generally, otherwise?
Yeah, it's been a really, really great event. I haven't been to many talks because I've been fixing problems with the scheduling software. But no, it's been a fantastic event, and I've got to talk to some great people, meet some brand new people that have been phenomenal. I've got to actually meet you in the flesh now, which has been great.
And there's a lot of it, believe me.
I can't comment on that. But no, I've got to sort of catch up with old friends and have new conversations with new brand new people about amazing and fantastic subjects. So,
and people who have listened to the show for a while know we did a seriously long interview before on CC Hits. How's that going for us?
Yeah, CC Hits is going really, really well. We've got about 3 or 4 podcasts that are submitting tracks into the system now, and obviously we're always looking for more. Daily Show has been running with very few incidents. I think we've had maybe sort of total of 4 shows lost. 4 daily shows lost in coming up for 2 years now. So yeah, it's going really, really well.
I must say the quality of it, of what comes through, is absolutely excellent.
Well, it's benefited by the fact it's filtered by some amazing people. The only stuff that tends to be in there is stuff that people think is really good from the outset. So obviously, that's not to say an individual may come across stuff that they don't like, but on the whole, stuff that's in there because someone said I like that enough to play it. So it's been really good. Really good for me as well. I've got to discover all sorts of music that I never thought I'd like. So, for example, I've discovered dubstep, and dubstep's great. And considering I'm normally a heavy metal guy, that really is really kind of weird for me. But no, it's good.
It is actually a bit, I must say, it is a bit odd. I was asked for some reason to mention dancing.
Yeah. So
this section of the show has been censored to protect the identities of the people who were dancing last night. Last year you couldn't make it here because you were having it?
Last year my son was really quite small, and timings just didn't work out. But no, last year it was a real shame that I couldn't make it here. This is closer to where I live as well, so it gave me more flexibility to get here. And no, it's...
Was it your first child?
Yeah, my first child.
How has life changed as a parent?
That whole thing where before you have a child, you have time. And now there's less of that, a lot less of that. So,
yes, and also a lot less of sleep, I imagine.
Well, it doesn't help when you're an idiot like I am, and you write 2 kind of projects, one of which has a really, really tight timescale, Campfire Manager, and the other of which has a tight timescale for every single day, which is CC Hit. So, sleep, what sleep? The last couple of months have been sort of 6 a.m. starts for sort of work and, getting my son up, and then sort of 2 a.m. going to bed. So I'm looking forward to the next month maybe having some sleep.
Yeah, take it easy, well deserved. Listen, thanks very much for taking the time for the interview, and tell me, have you anything planned? Take a few minutes out to go and see a talk?
So I'm going to the Lightning Talks, where I've been told that Stuart Ack Langridge is about to give me a shooing for having written Campfire Manager, which is going to be fun. So I've got to do a rebuttal to that, apparently. And I'm going to see the Dick Turpin Roadshow, which I have promised faithfully to screw up their talk scheduling, because that's what John the Nice Guys do best to Pete the Bastard Turpin. There's been a lot of talks. There's all sorts of things that I want to catch up with, and I want to meet up with people that in the exhibition space, and I haven't been to the open hardware space yet either. So
you definitely have to do that.
Yeah, I really need to.
Oh, actually, though, if you're interested in hardware hacking, might be a good place to avoid.
Yeah,
too many hobbies.
Well, indeed. I mean, I'm actually a licensed radio amateur as well, and that hobby has kind of gone to the wayside in the last few years as well. And I really need to start thinking about, you know, getting my radios back up and running again, because there's been a load of developments over the last 10 years since I properly was on the radio. So I need to kind of get back into that as well. So
give us a podcast on that. We have some US-based ham radio shows in the queue here from one or two of our listeners. It'd be interesting to get a European slant on ham radios.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I haven't got a particularly good place to come from as far as the UK ham radio environment, because it's been a good sort of 10 years since I properly did any radio stuff. But before that, I was very heavily into packet radio. And I did a little bit of stuff with the UK repeaters. So effectively, packet radio uses a IP-like protocol called AX25, which is derived from X25, which, you know, if you ever use a Microsoft Exchange server, you might have seen X25 there. The packet stuff uses AX25, and then they layer IP on top of that, so you can sort of telnet and stuff like that between nodes. But I mean, it's been a long time since I've done any of that. But the stuff that seems to be around at the moment is a system called Echolink, which is VoIP over the internet, so proper voice over IP, which then comes out into repeaters or standalone nodes. Yep. And you can get Android application for that, which means that even if you haven't got your radio with you, you can at least bring up a repeater and talk on it.
How difficult is it to get your exam?
Since I did my radio amateurs exam, they actually changed the way they were doing things. As I understand it, to get the foundation, it's pretty straightforward. The main thing about the radio amateurs exam in the UK was always about kind of educating you on effectively how to begin putting a radio together, how to get a radio up and working, and then what not to do to interfere with anyone else's traffic. So I don't know whether it's still like that. Certainly the UK, you used to have to pay for your license every year. And about 6 or so years ago, they removed that requirement. So now, as long as you've passed your test and you pay an initial fee, you now never have to pay again after that. So it's kind of encouraging people that have had licenses that may have let them lapse to renew them and bring them back up to speed again, even if they're not necessarily particularly active. It gives the hobby a much longer base to play with, you know. And if you've had an interest in the past, but you've not had time to keep it up, or you've not had the finances to keep it up, but your circumstances change in the future, it means you don't have to go back through, oh, where's all my paperwork? Can I renew it? How much is it going to cost me to renew it? Do I have to back pay? All those sorts of things. So, no, it's all a matter of time and effort, and I'd like to get back into it. It's just finding the time to fit it in around, you know,
the two major
projects, plus my son, plus the Manchester geek scene that I'm involved in, not quite as heavily as I used to be, but you know, still am a little bit, and the podcasting stuff that I'm involved in, because I get quite heavily involved in the Bugcast, which is a UK music podcast, and kind of get involved in talking to people about that. I really need to get back involved in the radio stuff, but it's just not done it for a while yet. So,
okay, listen, I'm going to let you go. Thanks very much for taking the time to do it. Thanks for doing Campfire, and definitely thanks for doing CC Hits.
Thank you very much for interviewing me. And as I said, you know, if any of your other podcasts want to submit music to CC Hits, then contact show@cchits.net, and I'll talk to you. How about getting it in?
Hi, I'm here at the coffee room at Ogcam 12, and we're about to be photographed talking to the man of the moment, Adam Sweet.
Clearly, how's it going?
Not too bad. How's life?
Pretty good. A little bit slow this morning, I'm afraid. It was a long one last night, but however, it appears that a particular beer of my choice yesterday evening is the way forwards to not having hangovers. Normally, I'd be dead and buried by now, but I'm here and I'm alive and it's going quite well.
It's probably mostly due to the fact it was watered down.
There is a good chance that that could be the case.
I think you're one of the most popular people here at Odd Camp 12 this year.
Obviously, and for very good reason.
Yes, a Nexus 7 donation.
Yes, there it is. My company is sponsoring the event by providing a Google Nexus 7 as a raffle prize. I've always kind of noticed that it's at conferences, it's nice to kind of reward people for just being cool people. And so as my company is fairly new. We started about a year or so ago.
Who are they?
My company is called Transitive Technologies Limited. And so, like, obviously we're still kind of building a reputation and getting our name out there. But I thought, you know what? Wouldn't it be nice now that we can give something to somebody, to just make somebody's day, hopefully week.
Yeah, definitely week. I have plans for one of these myself. I firmly intend to win it and keep it for myself.
I could, if no one was listening, just give it to you, but I'm afraid I have already handed it over to Dan, I think, from Linux Outlaws.
Oh, gosh. So, how has the show been so far?
I think it's been fantastic, actually. It's just, the thing is, it's quite easy going, which means that you don't feel...
As we speak, two little kids are coming looking at your cake. Oh, very tasty. Ooh. And she's just grabbed the cake. No, she's not happy with that. Oh, and she's going to have the coffee. Hot, Leafy.
Yes, we've been invaded by raiders. I've forgotten the question.
The question is actually how chilled out and relaxed it is, and I think we just saw
an example of it right there.
Two kids running over, and
I think that, again, I don't know whether it's just open source conferences in general or whether it's the particular vibe that Odd Camp has got. Which is, I guess, being an unconference, it's loosely... and there's a lot of hard work into it, but the talks themselves are loosely organised. They're just about scheduled before they occur. And basically everyone's really relaxed and easygoing. And it's a kind of stress-free conference.
I think if you were a control freak, this place would drive you absolutely insane.
Yeah, I have seen a few gigs rattling in the corridors because not everything isn't structured and organised for them. But yeah, thankfully...
We have a crack team of people ready to go and help them.
Yeah, somebody needs to go around and kind of scoop them up and put them in a room, in a chair, in front of a speaker with a projector, in a civilised, organised manner. If you need that kind of thing, perhaps this isn't the place to come, but for everybody else, yeah, it's a really great event.
Okay, are you looking forward to anything today? Are you doing a lightning talk yourself?
I'm utterly unprepared, and so... Unless I have to, and it will take a lot of pressure to find me, because I plan on escaping if there is any pressure. I have no plans to do a talk. I suppose I should have done, but kind of life gets in the way. I do have a talk that I could do. I don't have it with me, and I would have to compress it to be barely intelligible. So for me, it's a no, I think.
Not a problem. Okay, listen, I'll let you go on with the rest of the show. Enjoy your cake. The carrot cake was delicious, and the brownies were very, very delicious, so I'm interested to see what you think of that.
Thanks, Ken. Take it easy.
Okay. Just before we go, what's the name? Can you give me the website of your company?
Transitive.co.uk. That's TRANSITIV.co.uk.
And what do you do?
We are an open source support company. What we've found is that quite often there's people using open source or Linux applications out there, and they start off as little things just to solve a small problem, and either they become more and more important to the company, they get grown upon and use more and more and more, and suddenly they become very important. And for a lot of things, there is there's a certain kind of IT certification, management certification, that requires you to have a vendor for every piece of hardware and software. And quite often people get to the point at which, you know what, actually either this is too important that if it goes wrong and we can't fix it, we need somebody. Or maybe the guy that set it up moved, got promoted, or left. And it's basically, I guess, what they call a kind of continuation policy, really. So things can continue as normal in the event of a crisis or a crash that no one can fix. Or sometimes people just need things to do extra things. And that's kind of where we come in. However, 95% of what we do is probably network monitoring.
Okay, actually sounds like an interesting way to promote open source software within your own company, because quite a lot of the times the argument I've gotten is, well, you know, that's not supported by anybody. And now we would have a company that would be able to say, do you support WordPress?
Absolutely. And it is a problem for adoption. There's a lot of companies out there that are, that have traditional Unix and maybe some Red Hat Unix infrastructure that are moving away from it because the things that they run on those things aren't necessarily supported by the vendor, and so they're moving to Windows, because pretty much everything that you can run on Windows, unless you're running a piece of free software in the original, the popularist sense, as in lowercase f, everything is supported by its vendor. So you've got Windows Server, Exchange, Outlook, Office,
SharePoint.
Exactly, a SQL Server, and all of these kind of things. I'm sure other software vendors are available, incidentally. They all have a supporting vendor, and a lot of open source software that people are just throwing in to solve a small problem, and actually it starts to become grown upon and becomes more important to them, don't necessarily have a supporting vendor. So we do a lot of work with Nagios, and the people that we support with Nagios aren't interested in buying the commercial version of Nagios because they've got the normal one, the free software version already, and it doesn't cost them anything, but they've either taken it to the limits of the skills that they have in-house, or the guy left or got promoted or moved on one way or another, and they need to be able to continue. And our plan was basically to kind of service that need, or exploit that need.
Exploit that niche.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been talking to a few people this weekend. I mean, as I said, we do most of our work is network monitoring. That's not by design. That's just what people have come to us for. And I think there's plenty of scope to find other areas that for things that people are using a lot and then offer support for it.
Fantastic. Listen, thanks very much for taking the time, and enjoy the rest of the show. Hi, this is Ken here at Logcam 12 again. We're down having a cup of coffee, talking to Chris. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm a lot better for a cup of coffee, believe me.
Did you have a few beers last night?
For some definition of few. Yeah. It's the getting to bed at 3:30 in the morning thing that really does me in.
It was a nice event, actually, last night.
Yeah, it was good. These things are always good. Meet loads of people who I haven't met since last Odd Camp and kind of catch up and spend the evening talking about completely weird geeky stuff. Like, you know,
it's like the once in the year get your geek on.
You do overdose on geek for a couple of days, and then you've had your fix for the next few months. You're fine. You know, kind of, it's
okay. People may remember you from the podcast such as Lug Radio. So, how have you been doing since then?
They may remember me from your Lug Radio, but I wouldn't bet on it. I work for Red Hat these days. I'm a consultant.
Also,
a consultant at Red Hat, doing stuff for, you know, whoever will pay us money to get a Red Hat consultant in, basically.
Yeah, you're doing quite well, actually, as it happens. First billion-dollar open source company.
We are the first billion-dollar open source company. We had a billion-dollar party to celebrate that.
$1 billion.
$1 billion. Yes, it was fantastic. It was like the week after I joined, so I did absolutely no work and took lots of credit for the billion-dollar thing. It was great.
Excellent. So, where are you based mostly?
So I'm down near London. Farnborough is our kind of main UK office. And then, because I'm a consultant, so I'm out at customer sites all the time, and I'm wherever the customers are. But they tend to be banks and things like that.
Moving on.
Yeah, not my fault. That's what I'm saying.
And tell me, are you enjoying the show here? Any particular talks or any particular thing that caught your interest? Do you see any trend this year?
I have to admit, I've not been to any of the... So it's, lunchtime on day two here, so I've not been to any of the talks yet at all. I saw Stephen Fry yesterday, that was quite good fun. Yeah. But to me, these things are all about... Well, a lot of them, they're just about bumping into people, random people, and I'm getting...
Having a chat pretty much like that, walking past... Trying to distract you, yes.
And in working entirely, yes. I kind of keep meaning to go to talks, and then I'll be on my way there, and I'll bump into somebody who I haven't seen for ages, and go, oh, how you doing? What are you up to? And half an hour later, I'll go, oh, I was meant to be at a talk.
Well, my plan is, I'm completely with you, my plan is, this is justification for getting a Nexus 7, because, you know, you need something to be able to watch all the talks that you missed at Odd Camp.
Oh, right, yes, the video. So you just want to sit on the train on the way home and have your virtual on camp as you watch all the talks.
Sounds like a great plan. So, yes, excellent. Anything else that I missed?
No, I think it's been quite an impressive impressive event. Well, I've just been upstairs, actually. This is one of the things. I know I've not been to any talk. I've been to upstairs where there's been the hardware hackers.
That is fantastic, isn't
it? Yeah, but it's sort of weird. I didn't even know they were there, really. And somebody I was talking to said, oh, I'm going to see the hardware hackers, so I followed them. And when you go up there, and there's this whole room of people who I've not met before and I've not seen, and I know nothing about what they do. And it's like, where did this come from? I thought I understood this community, and nope, they're all these hardware hackers.
It's a fantastic addition. I'm really looking forward to that expanding. I think there was always the hardware hacker in me wanting to do those LED lights type thing.
Well, yeah, I last year at OddCamp, I got the bug and I bought an Arduino. And I bought the kit one, so you cut all the parts and you have to then solder it together. And I've never soldered anything in my life ever, right? I'm a complete failure as a geek in that respect. And so I thought, oh, I'll buy the board and I'll learn to solder. And I'll do all this kind of, and then I'll have this Arduino and I'll do all this cool stuff with it and I'll know how to solder and I'll be able, yeah. What have I done with it? I put it on the desk and it's been sat there gathering dust for the last ton of years. So.
Well, what you need to do, we've done, Mr. X has done 2 episodes on soldering. Download those. Yes, I know what you're thinking. A podcast about soldering actually works out quite well.
Okay.
Yeah, have a listen to them and he gives you links and stuff in the podcast to get into soldering.
Oh, that's exactly what I need then, I think. It's not something I've ever done, but it was like kind of this opportunity to learn and completely blown it away. So this year I bought a Raspberry Pi, which is already soldered, so I don't have to worry. All I have to do is put an operating system on it. I think I can do that, so you know.
Excellent. Listen, I'm going to let you go. Thanks very much for taking the time.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Hi, this is Ken, standing outside in what is a light drizzle outside OnCab 12, and I've managed to talk to
Mark.
Mark, people might know you from podcasts such as
the Ubuntu UK podcast.
So how are you doing? Are you enjoying the show?
Yeah, I've just recovered after last night. It's about lunchtime now. It's really good to see so many people come along, because with it being an unconference, you never know how it's actually going to turn out. You might get no one show up, you might get lots of people show up, but no one wants to do a talk. But it's gone really well. We've had loads of brilliant talks. Everyone seems to be enjoying it.
Have you been to a lot of the talks?
I've mainly been, the stuff I've seen is mainly the stuff on the main stage. Yesterday was spent sort of troubleshooting for quite a lot of it, so I haven't got to see as much as I'd like to, but I'm going to watch the lightning talks, which we got on after lunch. There's some interesting things that have been proposed, so I'm looking forward to see how they get squeezed into 5 minutes.
I think feuds might be the word.
Absolutely, yes. I can see some arguments being started and never finished.
Yes, exactly. What have you felt has been the major trend this year?
Oh, that's a good question.
Or is it too early to say?
I don't think I've had enough of an eye on everything that's going on to be able to tell you that.
Okay.
And ask me again at the end.
No bother. The organisation's been absolutely fantastic. Who do you think we should thank for that?
Me, entirely. Open Labs, who gave us the venue, basically sorted out so much for us, so that they gave us the venue for nothing, which, you know, compared to last year, it meant that we had a lot less sponsorship money to have to worry about. And whenever we've said, you know, well, we were thinking of doing this, would we be able to get some equipment, they've just sorted it all out for us. So they're the real people to thank, and obviously all of our other sponsors who have given us various things.
Yes, but when we talk about a venue, this is actually a massive five-story complex, I think is the word.
Absolutely.
To, you know, modern area building. We're standing outside here in a courtyard with couches all around. It's absolutely fantastic. Are you planning to come back here for next year's venue?
We don't know. Well, I'm being rickrolled. Brilliant. I deserve that, because I sort of rickrolled the scheduling system earlier and broke it at the same time. Anyway, sorry, would we come back here again? If we were doing it in Liverpool again, I think we would. I don't think we'd find somewhere as good as this to do it, in terms of the facilities and in terms of the environment. And because it's in a university, it has the sort of creative, innovative vibe to it. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I think I'd definitely be up for doing it here again.
It'd be definitely an idea to look into universities as a place for holding it, because there's so many people here as well trying to find a venue that will be able to handle this.
Yes, and venues tend to have quite good Wi-Fi as well, which is another big thing. We did have a bit of an issue yesterday, but I think that's just because there were a lot of people in one place all trying to get on at once, but that seems to have evened out now. But yeah, and also, yeah, just the general facilities they have, there's generally accommodation nearby as well. So yeah, universities are definitely a good thing to plump for, I reckon.
Okay, excellent. I'm just going to let you go now. Thanks very much for taking the time. This is Ken here at Odd Camp, just outside the coffee area, and I'm talking to
Tristan.
And what are you doing here?
Well, I develop an open source project to develop open source energy monitoring tools. So it's like it's both an open source hardware project and an open source software project. And for the hardware is a series of units. You have a sensor unit which measures how much electricity you're using in your house, or how much if you've got solar panels, how much they're generating, and that transmits those values to a base station, which uploads that information up to the web to an open source PHP JavaScript platform that we've developed to visualize that data. And you can install that on your own server.
So this is how difficult would it be to integrate it into your electrical system? Is it like a male plug thing, or can you describe it to our listeners?
Yeah. So it just clips on the wire that comes into the building. So it measures the total electricity use in that building. It's a non-invasive sensor, so you don't have to do any high voltage electric tampering. You just
I like that. This. We'll keep the hackers alive. Yeah. I know. Can you build that yourself, or can you buy it, or what's the story?
You can build it yourself. We have an open hardware business selling kits to build it. So just like a bag of components with a printed circuit board, and then you assemble it. It's all based on the Arduino at the heart, as many of these projects are. The basic components are a couple of resistors and a couple of capacitors to do the actual current sensing, but it's all on the website. So openenergymonitor.org, is there's loads of tutorials and documentation and active forums.
And you can run this on your own server, because a lot of people are expecting these smart meters to come in. Where the electricity companies expect you to pay to make their life a lot easier.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's been obviously a really important thing for us, is that every part of this is open. Even the web service side. So even if you're using, because we host the software is called Eamon CMS, and we host like a public version of that. And that's completely open, and if someone wants to like push a feature up there, you know, they can just push it to the GitHub, and then we put it onto the server, and or they can run it on their own server. So,
and you know, being a complete noob as far as it goes with electrical standards in different countries, is there a different say if I was using this in the States versus using that in 110 versus 220 voltage system? Is there a difference there?
Yeah. So in the States, you usually need two current sensors and the voltage sensor, because they have a different electrical system, I guess. So you take into account all these things when building it.
So why would somebody even go to the trouble of doing something like this?
Yeah. So the intention or the aim of the project is to create a tool that helps people optimize their use of energy. So you can find out, you know, what appliances are using how much electricity, and identify potential for saving. And it's also particularly sort of interesting and sort of exciting to use when you have a generation equipment like a solar PV, because you can then see when you're generating more than you're using, and we've got a little display as well, which is another little open source hardware unit, and that glows green when you're generating more than you're using.
Very nice.
And red if you're
absolutely fantastic. Actually, my wife will be interested in this particular topic, because she's quite into green energy and being kind of self-sufficient as much as possible. Yeah. And I've been concerned about the amount of electricity that I've been using myself, which is why I've decommissioned one of my servers and put in a Raspberry Pi instead.
Yeah.
So it's actually a good topic. So how much would one of these sensors cost?
So the sensor node is a £27 kit. It's like an Arduino with the input circuitry to interface with the sensor. There's the whole kit to do a home energy monitor is about £120. So that's a base station, a display, and the sensor unit.
Why do you need a base station?
That's for the web connectivity. So you can get all that data on the web and visualize it in as much detail as you want.
And when you say visualize, what am I looking at there?
You're looking at nice looking graphs.
Showing.
One level is how much you use on a per day basis. So I used 10 kilowatt hours today and 5 kilowatt hours yesterday. And then you can click on that sort of bar chart, and then that will zoom in and you can see how you use electricity through the day, and you can zoom in right to the minute level.
I identified that I'm using far too much electricity. Can I do a comparison between people in my neighborhood, or comparatively, I'm a five person house and a two-story thing. Can I say, right, am I above using more or using less than somebody else?
Yeah. I mean, if you've got friends who are also monitoring, you can do that kind of comparison. And I mean, there's a lot of information out there on what is sort of average electricity use. So, that's definitely possible.
And what sort of a license are you releasing all this under?
It's the general public license, the GPL V3.
Ah.
The EMON CMS is GPL Affero. So, if you...
If you're using it on a web service, you also have to contribute back. Okay, very good.
That's it, yeah.
Excellent. Listen, if people are interested in your project, where can they go to get more information?
The website is openenergymonitor.org.
Yeah. Okay, no funny spelling in there. It's openenergymonitor.org. Okay, thank you very much for taking the time to have the interview, and I look forward to buying one of your kits in the very near future.
Yeah.
I'm down here at the restaurant, and I'm talking to some participants in the open source community. How are you? Who are you, and why are you here?
And why am I here? Oh, well, my name's Agnes Lynch, and I'm here with Scott, my nephew. Well, my grandson, Dan's nephew. We're just here because Scott needs to be able to mix with the people who do the sort of thing he likes.
What age are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Hmm?
How old are you?
Oh, I'm 13 right now, so...
And is this your first dog camp?
Yes, it is.
What have you found most interesting about the show?
Probably the hardware room, because that 3D print is really interesting.
It's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, I agree.
How far has he got already?
Well, so far he's up to the point where he's almost able to actually make stuff with it.
Cool.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
And have you seen anything of interest up there?
I've been obviously up in the hardware room because I've been keeping my eye on him. But in between times, I've been running off and listening to Raspberry Pi lectures.
They are very good, aren't they? Very tasty, aren't they?
Brilliant.
What excites you most about the Raspberry Pi, actually?
Involving the children. Yeah. Actually, the lectures were more on the engineering, which, strangely enough, I did manage to understand. But I was more interested in the fact that it's supposed to be getting young children involved programming, really, because I think engineering's too much for very young children, but they have to do it step at a time.
Yeah.
So I went along for that reason, and I've had a chat to the guy who's developing it, and some software engineers. So I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And are you planning on getting a Raspberry Pi and doing anything with it? Sorry, I'm interrupting you as you're eating your cake. It's what I do.
Yeah. Well, I hope to get a Raspberry Pi at some point, but Nan's already bought one, so...
This would be Dan from the Linux Outlaws podcast for everybody, just so you know.
Well...
And what are you going to make?
I hopefully will be able to make something that I can use to edit and make these animations I've been making out of little pieces of microchips and things. I've made characters, and it's brilliant.
Okay, I plan to get one and put a motion detector on it. I live beside a graveyard, you see. and I want to put a motion detector on and a timer so that it only comes on when it's dark and after the caretaker has gone home, so that it'll go, "I'm not dead, let me out."
You don't want to see.
Okay then. Listen, thanks very much for allowing me to interrupt you, and enjoy the rest of your meal.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HBR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.